You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news.
So it's my brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my needs. Don't have to beg because I am a thief. Cause every good and perfect gift comes from the Father who
I am. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Welcome to When Christians Speak Talk Radio. I'm your host today, Reverend Ray. This is Friday Night Joy. Amen. We're going to do something just a little bit different today. We're going to play an old message that we had, I think it was like maybe in December, under the Reverend Nate Newman. He's a member of the Trail Life Christian Ministry. He's also a school principal in Maryland. Amen. And he gave an awesome message a while back. Amen. We're going to just listen to him and everything. But I do want to remind you of a couple of things before I do that. Amen. As I'm scrolling through some things. Amen. Right here. Let me just play.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news.
Join us for our weekly broadcast, His Abounding Grace, with Minister Vanessa Williams. That's every Tuesday at 7 p.m. On Wednesday afternoons at 1 p.m., join Reverend Gwendolyn Dixon for the Midday Glory Prayer Line. The dial-in number is 641-715-3580. The access code is 732-499. And Wednesday nights at 7 p.m., Challenge to Change, where real transformation begins with you. That's with Pastor Paul Morgan of Chosen Generation Ministries in Richmond, Virginia. On Thursdays, live at 12 noon, join Reverend Pat Randall for Declaring the Finished Work for an hour of worship, exhortation, and prayer. Reverend Ray and friends are here on Friday nights at 7 p.m. with the Joy of the Lord on Friday Night Joy. Sundays at 7 p.m., join Reverend Ray for Bread of Life for a Word in Season. And don't forget our monthly broadcast. First Mondays of every month at 7 p.m., be blessed with the teaching ministry of Apostle Shirley Jones on Lifeline. On third Mondays at 7 p.m., join Evangelist Lewis McElwain for Adoration, a broadcast of worship and ministries on the mission field. Second Saturdays of the month, join Reverend Curtis, Reverend Novena, and Minister Jordana for Bold and Beautiful, a youth and young adult broadcast setting the world on fire with the love of Jesus. And on fourth Saturdays, Alabaster Box at 7 p.m. with Prophetess Carla Johnson, where she shares a broad range of topics to help believers persevere and overcome. All broadcast times are Eastern Standard Time.
When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a nonprofit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper, be in good health, even as your soul prospers.
Unto the Lord, for He is good. Yes, He is good.
When Christian Speak Talk Radio is a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, so all of your gifts to this ministry are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com, and click on our donation page.
Amen. Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. This is the Christian Speak Talk Radio. I'm your host, Reverend Ray. This is Friday Night Joy. I'm going to play something that we had a while back. I guess it was about maybe like last year sometime with Reverend Nathan Newman. It was an awesome word. And we're just going to go ahead and start playing them. Amen. Be blessed.
And amen. Can we start off by just giving God like 20 seconds of praise? Can you give him your best praise? Can you let him know that you love him? Of his people. We need to do that more often. Amen. In your secret place, in the bedroom, in the bathroom, on the way to work, right? Because you have a friend like none other, and his name is Jesus. Amen. Guys, the title of this message today is Walk in Your Joshua Anointing. Amen. At the end of last year, God spoke a word to me. He said that 2015 would be the year of the believer. That you can have whatever you believe. What you believe in your heart and in your mind, you can have. And then on New Year's Eve, I remember Pastor walked through the door. He said, Nate, the word is in your mouth. And I ain't know what he meant. I was like, I ain't preaching tonight, right? But he said, the word is in your mouth. And the prophecy that came forth that night was that in 2015, you can have whatever you say. So be careful what you ask for, right? Now, I don't know how much you've been reminded of that word. If you haven't utilized that to your advantage, I'm here to tell you this morning that the year is not over. You can speak that word upon your life, over your loved ones, over your children, over your family, and it's still good to the end of the year. Amen. We then had an overnight intercessory prayer session. Powerful. And the Lord added on top of that, he said, you can prophesy your end. So if what God has shared with you doesn't seem to have manifested, and the enemy has manifested a lie, you have the authority and dominion to speak to that situation and call it what it should be. Does that make sense? 3 weeks ago, I was sitting right over here in the house. Pastor was preaching an awesome message. I mean, it was good. But the Lord was talking to me. And I was like, God, I'm trying to listen to Pastor. Imagine that, right? God was like, boy, you better listen to me, right? And he whispered in my ear, Moses is dead. And see, I had been referring to myself as Moses all year. Many of you don't know, I'm a principal by trade. And how many people, I don't know, any supervisors or managers in the house, sometimes when you deal with a large amount of employees or people under your charge, that can be a task, right? Because you have so many personalities and so many different types of people. Some are always complaining, murmuring, never satisfied. And I was like, man, I don't know how Moses did it. I don't know, and he did it for 40 plus what? Years. And I've been saying that out of my mouth over and over and over and over and over and over. And remember what the word of the year was. I was speaking that over my life. Right? He said, Moses is dead. I had a lady come into my office and prophesy. He said, I keep hearing Moses. I keep hearing Moses. And I said, yeah, I keep hearing it too. But then 3 weeks ago, he said, Moses is dead. I said, God, what does that mean? And he took me to Joshua. And he said, I need for you to walk in your Joshua anointing. Amen? So we're going to draw some comparisons and we're going to some contrast between Moses and Joshua and sin and grace, amen? And just a little background information. See, Moses represents Israel, God's people that he moved from Egypt and removed them from sin and bondage. Israel was delivered from Egypt's degrading bondage. God speaks through history to give an example of our deliverance from the degrading bondage of sin. I need for you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're going to read starting at verse 1. Say amen when you get there. Guys, this word tonight, it should edify you. It should help those of you who've been struggling. It's going to make you say amen, and it may make you say ouch. You decide which one you want to shout, amen? 10:1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Understand that we were all saved from sin and bondage, amen? And we will all have a wilderness experience. But there are many of us who are being overthrown in the wilderness. There are many of us who have fallen after the lust of evil things. Neither be ye idolaters, and were some of them, as it was written. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, and some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon which the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he should fall. These have no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Amen? So understand that even after you give yourself to Christ, temptation will show up during your wilderness period. But this is how much God loves us. He said he will provide a window of escape. And what I always imagine, anybody watch those Indiana Jones movies? Back in the day, some of y'all might not be old enough to remember that, right? But there were times where these walls would be falling and you had to run and slide under the wall before the wall fell. Otherwise, you'd be trapped underground, right? See, when sin comes, well, temptation for sin comes, you get that same opportunity. But you have to move in the strength of the moment. He says that he knows those that love him by those who keep his commandments, right? And if we're going to be disciples of him, that we must follow him, and we must die what? Daily. And the definition of love is to deny yourself for someone else. So if I'm loving him, when temptation comes, I have to deny what my flesh wants and please him. But he says he's going to provide that window. So when that window comes, first thing I need to do is rebuke what's coming. I need to speak to the thing. Those are not my thoughts. Those are not my desires. All the while, I'm running to the window. I was about to say something, but I'm not going to do that. But you got to dive for that window, amen? Because if you stick around too long, guess what's going to happen? You're going to fall to that temptation. So when you ignore those windows over and over and over again, you get comfortable in your mess. You get used. You ever smell something that was foul, but if you stay around it long enough, the smell to you goes away, but you still have that stench. That's the stench that God smells. You don't want to have that stench. Amen? When he in, I want you to understand something. When he talked about being baptized in the cloud and in the sea, I want you to understand that when the Red Sea parted and they walked through, symbolically, that was a form of baptism. That symbolizes the baptism of repentance, leaving bondage and sin behind. So when God said leave Egypt, we went through the sea, submerged, not drowned, not wet even, but through the sea was a form of baptism to leave sin in bondage. But see, when Joshua got the commandment, arise and cross the Jordan, that was another form of baptism. But that was the baptism into his grace and his mercy. That was baptism, as we would call it, by the Holy Spirit. Now we have resurrection power. Are you following me? Symbolic of two different types of baptisms, and we're going to talk about it. The central act of redemption in the New Testament is the work of Jesus on the cross. The central act of redemption in the Old Testament is the deliverance of Israel from Egypt. Israel led Moses and wandered in the Sinai. Israel, led by Moses, wandered in the Sinai wilderness. During that time, Israel experienced supernatural providence, such as the supply of manna. He fed them every day. Water from the rocks. the pillar of cloud by day and a fire by night, and so on. During that time, they also received divine revelation, which was God's law. God communicated to them his holy standard. Now, the land of Canaan, the promised land, represents the destination of God's people after they have been set free from degrading bondage. Understand that the deliverance from Egypt was only in preparation for the enjoyment of Canaan. You got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, but there's more. He has a purpose and a plan for you. You have your own, very own promised land to enter. You have a purpose to fulfill. See, a lot of us went into the wilderness but got stuck there. Many of you, your blessings are on the other side of the Jordan, but you haven't crossed through the second baptism. Amen? Even as an entire generation of Israel died in the wilderness, so many Christians die in the desert dryness of spiritual experience, never walking in the fullness of what God has for them. Most of us have been in this holding pattern, thinking we've been waiting on God, when actually God has been waiting on us. God says it's time for us to leave the wilderness or be prepared to die there. Amen or ouch. We are holding on to our past instead of focusing on our destiny. See, what I see is us holding on to the past real tight, holding on to baggage, holding on to bad experiences, and we're replaying them in our mind, holding on to the pity parties, right? Holding on to the hurt and pain, when all the while the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost are pulling us towards our destiny, sending messengers and messages and promises, pulling us, and we're being stretched, holding on, being pulled. And God said, if you just let go, if you just let go, you will slingshot yourself into your destiny. All of the pain, all of the obstacles, you're going to fly right by them if you simply let go. Somebody say, let go.
Let go.
Turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Oh, neighbor.
Oh, neighbor.
If you knew what I knew,
you
would do what I do. Somebody praise God. Let me tell you something. Many of us don't realize that Joshua was a type of Jesus. Remember that the Greek name Jesus simply translates the Hebrew name Joshua. Their names are identical. Whatever Israel received in the promised land, they received through the hand of Joshua. Whatever we receive from God, we will receive through Jesus Christ. That was a precursor to what's now. Moses exemplified the law of God. He could not lead Israel into the land of promise and rest. You cannot go into your promised land with a wilderness mindset. I'm going to repeat that. You cannot go into your promised land with a wilderness mindset. God said, crucify your mind. He said, pick up your cross and follow me if you're going to be my disciple. What does that mean, pick up my cross? What does it mean to die daily? Daily? I got to die daily? That means pick up all your baggage, all your sin, and go to the place of the crucifixion. Go to Golgotha. Golgotha means place of the skull. Mount Calvary, in Latin, Calvary means skull. What did Christ do at Golgotha, the place of the skull? He took care of all sin. Well, where does sin originate? In the mind. What's in the skull? Your brain, your mind, where your thoughts are. So what am I to do? I'm to take these thoughts to the place of the crucifixion.
Come on now.
And I am to crucify everything that's opposite of what God says I am. So if I'm sick, I'm going to crucify that thought that I'm sick. I'm going to crucify everything that looks to be true in the natural. You may be a fornicator. You may smoke weed. You might be an alcoholic. You might be a womanizer. You might be very judgmental. You may be very unforgiving. But that's not what better be coming out of your mouth. Those are not my thoughts. That is not who I am. I rebuke those things in the name of Christ Jesus. Crucify your mind. When the Bible says repent, the word repent means to change your mind. I'm not confessing I am a sinner. I'm not confessing I am weak. I'm not confessing I am sick. I'm not confessing I am poor. I'm confessing that I am the righteousness of God. I'm confessing that I am the king's kid. I'm confessing that I have rights to the king's stuff. What was the purpose of the wilderness? Deuteronomy 8, verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee, these 40, that's a long time, 40 years in the wilderness. He gave them a long time to get it right. He gave them 40 years to get it right, to humble them, to make them depend on him, to trust him. God's going to take you through experiences to build that trust, to build that experience. He did it with David. He had experiences taking care of his daddy's flock. He had to overcome and fight bears and lions. So when the giant came along, he had already had some experiences where God had humbled him and built his faith. Amen? Anybody ever been through something? Over and over and over. Well, see, the one thing about my God is that he'll keep giving you the test until you pass it. There is no permanent failure. He says he put you in the wilderness to prove thee, to prove you, to see if you would follow him, to see if you would trust him, because where he's taking you, if you can't trust me for this, you're not ready for the promised land. Because there's some things over there that if you can't get this right, it's going to scare your socks off. You think you want the blessings of God. She said, I got a lot of haters. Well, guess what? He had to build some thick skin to begin to take me to my promised land. Because the things that easily beset you now can't easily beset you when he elevates you. When he takes you to that next place, you got to be ready. To humble you, to prove you, to know what was in your heart. Because it's easy to be a friend when all is good. But when you look up and see who's still standing when you're going through, that's how you know who's true. When you're going through something, when you need them the most. It's easy to say I love you when you ain't been through anything. He wanted to know what was in their heart, whether they would keep his commandments or no. Understand that your wilderness experiences, see, some of you have been there for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. You feel like there's greatness on the inside of you. You know that there's more, you just don't know how to tap into it. Amen or ouch. You know it's more for you. You know you're built for something great, but you don't know how to tap in. God says he's going to show you how to tap in this morning. The wilderness is meant to get rid of your selfish ways. It's to give you a heart to serve. It's to give you a servanthood heart. It's to see if you really love him or not. He says, I know if you love me by whether or not you keep my commandments. Now, after the death of Moses, Joshua 1, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses ministering, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, get up, You had to leave some things and some people behind. Everybody can't go to your promised land with you. If God removes somebody from your life, don't go chasing them. Don't go resurrecting the dead. Go over this Jordan. Somebody say, the blessing. The blessing is on the other side. And thou and all this people unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the great Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. See, the precise territory of the land is described. He was intentional about what he had for them. He's intentional about what he has for you. There is an intentional plan and purpose for you. It has real boundaries. Verse 5 says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. See, when you can get a lock in on what God has for you, that's when your authority and dominion comes into play. That's when you can loose and bind here on earth and it's done in heaven, because it's aligned with what God has for you. That's when you need a resource, you need help, you need tools, you need to call for lightning strikes, you need to get people out of your way, you can tell a mountain to move. It's because you're aligned with what he has for you. That's where the power, see, there's no power in the wilderness. The wilderness is where you're dependent on him. The power comes when you're walking towards your purpose, going to the other side. That's when you have power. Some of us remain sick. Some of us remain poor. Some of us remain disheartened. Some of us remain sick in the mind because we're still in the wilderness. The power is on the other side. Even when Christ went to the other side, that's when the miracles were done. That's when the devils were released from people on the other side. Amen. I will be with you. Victory is assured, not because Joshua was a great leader, not because you're such a great person, but because he called us to be a great nation. Because God is a great God. And his word said he'd be with us. That's his word. He's not a man that he can lie. Even on my job, I got to be real careful when I'm praying. Because my prayer over the last 2 years has been, Lord, change them or move them. Change them or move them. Do whatever you got to do. And I was calling out names. One had a stroke. Another one went into a coma. Another one had severe back problems. I was like, God, I ain't trying to kill him. But understand that when you're walking and working in your purpose, you have authority and dominion. And in this season where he said you can have what you say, you better be careful what you ask for. Especially if you have a communication gift. If you're a singer, a teacher, a preacher, be careful how you speak to your spouse, because your words have extra supernatural power. So you can speak a powerful word that blesses and edifies, or you can speak a word that degrades and breaks down and tears down. I got to be careful how I speak to my children, because it has power on it. Because I have a communication gift. I don't know who that was for. That was not in my notes. Verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto the fathers to give them. Joshua is called to be bold. So you can infer that Joshua must have had, in the natural, some weaknesses. See, we allow our weaknesses and what we don't think we can do to hold us captive in the wilderness. It might be business. I can't sell. I'm shy. I'm an introvert. Well, that ain't what God called you to do. If God has given you a blessing for a specific business, you got to walk in it and trust him. When you're walking in your purpose, you have power. You can call for resources. You can loose and bind. You're keeping yourself in the wilderness. Do not let your weaknesses keep you in the wilderness. God will provide the increase. Amen. He will give you supernatural authority to do that which you, and see, that's what humbles you, when you know it's not you. He did it through you, but you was like, God, will you save me on that one? Because there's many of things I do, and I'm like, I don't know how I did it. But amen, praise the Lord. You were great. Oh, yeah, it was God. He said, be bold. Be strong. Of good courage. Why courage? Because you're going to face some things that will scare you. There are giants in the land. If Joshua needed encouragement, what makes you think you don't need encouragement? David had to encourage himself. It's going to be all right. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm the kid's kid. I'm supposed to be successful. And then I'm going to put his name on it because my father's name is I Am, the great I Am. So whatever you put after I Am, you're just giving supernatural power to call the universe to bring everything that you put after I Am, allow it to come straight to you with power. I am healed. Then everything that God has to send you for healing is going to come your way. But if you keep saying, I am sick, and then some of us say, I am sick and tired, guess what you're going to be? Sick and tired. Amen? Amen or ouch. This bold courage would not be in Joshua himself, but in God. We then can be full of self-confidence that will take us to ruin. That we can be full of self-confidence that will take us to ruin, but we should instead be full of genuine God confidence. That's what he teaches you in the wilderness, how to depend on him. He told the disciples, don't take any thought for where you're going to sleep, what you're going to drink, what you're going to eat. They were totally dependent upon him. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to say. And then it all works out. That's God. But if he did it once, he'd do it twice. If he did it three times, he'd do it a fourth time. If he did it a fourth time, he'd do it a fifth time. If he did it a sixth time, he'd do it a seventh time. If he did it a seventh time, he did it an eighth time. You got it yet? So that when that thing comes in front of you, you're like, oh, we did this eight times. Let's go. No fear. Experience will defeat fear. Knowledge will annihilate fear. That's why he said, read my word every day. Knowledge will conquer fear. Fear is fear of the unknown. Well, once you experience it and you conquer it and you are overcomer, you got power over it. But you're only going to do that if you walk in towards your purpose. Amen? If David didn't kill those animals, he wouldn't have had a shot at Goliath. Verse 7, he says it again. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Now, God tell you something twice, three times. You better listen. Be strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. If you trust him and go straight, David went straight at it. He didn't go to the left, he didn't go to the right. He ran straight at Goliath. They thought he was crazy. If you're doing what you're supposed to do, if you're on track to fulfill your purpose, there should be some people around you who think you're crazy. If they don't think you're crazy, you're still in your comfort zone. God is trying to stretch you to a new zone where you may not even feel like you belong. But see, if you continue to stretch and you hang out there long enough, that's your new comfort zone. So too often we work out of a crisis mode or a survival mode instead of a prosperity mode. The rent's due. You're comfortable with a $400 rent. So when it's due, I'm going to do whatever, crisis hit, I'm going to do whatever I do to meet that $400 goal. Well, you're never going to get out the projects with rent at $400. You got to set a goal that takes you out your comfort zone, which means you're going to have to do some things outside of your comfort zone. When $2,500 become your new comfort zone, are you living in prosperity? Yes. See, your subconscious is going to work to help you get back to what you're comfortable to. Again, that's why God says renew your mind how often? Daily. He told Joshua, meditate day and night on this great promise that I gave you. Because he had to stretch his thinking to a higher place. He had to get him out of his comfort zone to a new place. And he knew that that would take time. Do it every morning. Do it every day, every night. Do it over and over and over again. Renew your mind. Renew your mind. You ever lied so much till you believed it? You told a lie so much, you're like, did that happen? The word believe has the word lie in the middle of it. If you got to lie to yourself in a positive way for it to come to pass, do that. He said, speak them things as if what? Come on. Speak it into existence till it gets here. Because if my promise is over there and I'm here, as long as I don't stop walking, I would eventually get to it. I'm going to give T.D. Jakes this one, and then next time I use it, I'm going to fake like I did it. I said it, right? He said, God gives you a GPS to your destination. You determine how fast you go. And this is how good God is. When you make a wrong turn, what does the GPS do? Recalculates to get you back on target. Just don't quit. Look to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, don't quit. Just do it. Just do it. Just do it. I got your back. I'll support you. I got your back. I'm going to support you. Just do it. Bless God. Verse 8. This book of the law, consider it a vision. This vision that I've given you for your life, this vision I've given you for a business, this vision I've given you for a marriage, this vision I've given you for your children, this vision that I've given you for the tree of life, this vision that I've given you for your health, this vision that I've given you for every situation you may find yourself in, shall not depart out of thy mouth. Meditate on it. Meditate on it. That means rehearse it in your mind. Play it out in your mind. Find 100 ways to make it happen and do all 100 and then come up with another 100 to make it happen. Because see, a lot of times what we do is we'll take temporary defeat and make it a permanent failure and then we change our purpose. The purpose didn't change. You've got to change. You might not be the man needed to get to the promised land, so fix the man and keep moving. Amen? Because anything else is considered drifting. A rocket is off track 97% of the time. It has to be consistently recalibrated to hit its target. The wilderness prepares you and recalibrates you. And as you begin to go to the other side, God's going to continue to tweak you, change you, perfect you, so that you hit your destination. And when you hit your destination, you're ready. He says, but thou shalt meditate. This word in the Hebrew is dogal. It means to moan. Sometimes when you go through and you're confessing that thing, it's going to hurt. And it might come out as a moan. when I'm in pain and I got to declare that I'm healed and I'm well, man, it might come out as a moan. You got to roar it, a roar, a lion roars. I am healed, right? I am more than a conqueror. You got to, sometimes you got to say that thing with some feeling. You got to let the enemy know you're not playing. Sometimes you got to growl, utter, mutter. To meditate means to plot, to scheme, to develop a plan, to speak it, to devise it, to ponder, to study, to talk, to imagine. You got to at least imagine the possibility. And then once you believe that it's possible, nothing can stop you. The word impossible, if you put a hyphen after the first M, it says I'm possible. He turns the impossible to I'm possible. You need to meditate, talk about it, speak it, write it, recite it, day and night. How often? How often? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written. That means for you to be successful in the thing that he's put in front of you, you got to meditate on it day and night. That's why it's so important to be equally yoked. Because when you on a mission and God got you focusing on it day and night, if you can't ride with me, somebody's neck going to be hurt. Because the yoke is not even. So that means either somebody needs to adjust, or maybe that person can't go to the promised land with you. Uh-huh. I'm not going to the promised land with a broke neck. Somebody say, lead me. No, you got to say like you mean it. Lead me. Follow me. Or get out my way. Say it again. Lead me. Follow me. Or get out my way. Now, if you got that cussing spirit, be careful. Look, let me tell you something. In love, Joshua must take great care. Hold on, let me back up. Can I say it's okay to be angry? The Bible says be angry, but sin not. Oh, I'm pissed with the enemy. I'm going to be angry with the enemy. You blocking me from my blessings. It's on and popping. You hit me with two lefts last time. I'm ready for that. Throw those two lefts again and see what happens. Some of us, though, are standing there like punch dummies, getting hit, 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 hit. Move. Adjust. Do something different. Don't stay there and just keep getting hit. Even Rocky got mad and adjusted, right? I like Rocky, sorry. If you got to get mad, get mad. But sin not. Joshua must take great care to observe the law. God's word and Joshua's commitment to it would be the pillar supporting his success. Catch that. Your commitment to God's word is what's going to ensure your success. Your commitment to his word, reading it every day, because that's your calibration. When you read his word every day, it calibrates you. So if you go off, it brings you back. And what's great is if you got a workout partner who say, hey, you slipping. We going this way. We going this way. You going the wrong way, this way. Understand this. Everybody that left Egypt that was 20 and above, with the exception of two, didn't get to go to the promised land. Why? Because they never built enough faith to trust God. Why? Because they rather lust after their flesh than lust after things of God. They all died. The ones who got to go were children. All they knew was manna. All they knew was what God did. They had nothing else to compare it to. They were children of faith. Right? Caleb and Joshua were the only two who was like, let's go, we can do this. Let me tell you what your three giants are. I'm jumping ahead, but I'm going to go there because God said do it. Here's your giants. Because when you go to the promised land, there are giants in the land. Joshua defeated 31 different kings and kingdoms that were in the natural mightier than him. Mighty men of valor. They whooped everybody else's tail. But here's what God did. After they won those first couple battles, the word went out. These people and their God, they get it in. They whooped tail. Did you hear what they did up in Ai? God allowed the fear, instead of the fear being with the people of God, the fear was with the enemies of God. They were afraid before the fight even started. He will work those people that's trying to block your blessings. God would make them either line up and love you or they will fear you. A lot of the haters, they just afraid of where you're going. But if God delivered Joshua in 31 different battles, the only time they lost was when they were sinning the camp. That's why he said, look, moving forward, meditate on his word. Day and night. Eat it. You are what you, as a man thinketh so. That's the word. That's the word. The question is, what are you eating? You eating fear? Well, guess what you're going to get more of? You're eating doubt? Are you eating unbelief? See, fear is the unknown. Doubt is, I doubt it because I don't have enough information to make me think otherwise. Unbelief is, I got all the information, I just don't trust it. God wants you to conquer fear, doubt, and unbelief. Meditating on his word will kill all three because he's going to allow you to get the information that you need to know when the enemy's lying, to know when it's a distraction, to know when it's a false thing. No, I know that ain't right because that ain't what God said to me. Amen? God told Joshua to be bold, to be of good courage, and to be strong 3 times. He also said, be not afraid. God knew there would be giants in the land. He knew that there would be battles against enemies that were larger in stature and in number. He tells us to meditate day and night to remind ourselves of the promise, to increase our belief level. If you see something enough and hear it enough, you will begin to believe it. Then when God begins to prove himself, your faith now has evidence, but first you have to believe to see versus seeing to believe. Let me say that. Some of us need to see to believe, but you need to believe to see. Catch this. Verse 10. See, God had made some of the people promises. You can have this land on this side of the Jordan, right? It's your land. But when it was time to go over and fight off the enemy, he's like, I know your land's secure, but I'm going to need you, because we're moving as one, to come help us defeat these enemies. See, some of you get a little bit of success, and then act like you can't help nobody, right? You don't have no sin in your camp. You in the wilderness thick, but you can't come to the altar. I'm sorry, this is the prophetic side coming out, because, see, I got to bring a message from God to his people. When we pray, is it my Father? It's, oh, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. It's a we thing. What I do to me affects you. What you do to yourself affects me. That's why we assemble. We come to give each other what we need. When I'm in a fight, you should be fighting with me, not fighting against me. But again, we got to be equally yoked. Because I'm either going to lead, follow, or you got to get out of my way. He said, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over the Jordan to go into possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Rebenites and to the Gadites and to half of the tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses the servant of the Lord commanded you, saying, the Lord your God have given you rest and have given you this land. Your wives and your little ones and your cattle, they're going to stay. They're going to stay in the land which Moses gave you on this side of Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. This same principle operates in the body of Christ. When one member has a need, it is the common need of the body. We should never refuse to help a brother in need because our own state is settled. That's selfish. Until the Lord have given your brethren rest as he has given you, and they have also possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them, then ye shall return into your land of possession and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side of Jordan toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. That needs to be your statement to God. Wherever you send me, Lord, I will go. Whatever you ask me to do, Lord, I will do. Whoever you ask me to bless, Lord, I will bless. Because I work as unto the Lord. He may have you work with your boss that you don't like. What you don't know is you got to love on your boss, because you'll be the very one that he will use to give your boss a word that will change the boss's life forever, and the boss will bless you and help you get to your promise. But you'll miss that because you're in your flesh and you're in the wilderness. Has God driven down anybody's street yet this morning? Amen. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words, in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. So that means anything that you're doing that's outside of the will of God, anything that's opposite of faith is sin, won't be blessed, and will die in the wilderness. Some of us have wondered why we can't break through this certain ceiling. One of us have wondered why I can't get to this other place. Sometimes we get real close and then get shot right back down. You got to do the one thing that David did, the one thing that Mary did. You got to get in the Lord's presence. You got to sit at his feet to get your instruction and your direction and your vision. Without a vision, the people will what? Perish. Get a vision. You're only going to get it spending time with the Lord. But then once you get it, man, there's power. Once you get out the wilderness and you overcome, you have authority and dominion. You're an overcomer. God is, everyone under the sound of my voice this morning, he is commanding you to become an overcomer. Everyone under the sound of my voice this morning, to include the children who can comprehend in this room, because there's no such thing as a Holy Ghost for the little one and a Holy Ghost for the grown one. If you can understand, this blessing is for you. God has a promised land. As a matter of fact, you got a choice to make today. You can either stand on this side of the Jordan and stay in the wilderness, or you can step into the water. As soon as you step into the water will rise. And as long as you don't backtrack and stop moving, you will get to the other side. And what's on the other side is every blessing that you ever wanted. Some of you want to know why I haven't met that special someone yet. Because you're still in the wilderness. Your boo is on the other side. He over there like, come on, girl. Come on. He on the other side. I promise you he on the other side. She on the other side, and she's fine. On the other side, and you're dealing with the wilderness girls. I'm just saying. Get out the wilderness. Get out the wilderness. Get out the wilderness. Get out the wilderness. You got to rehearse something new. And this is a season for something new. This is a new season. You can't get new blessings hanging in the old season. God told me it's harvest time. Ooh. Man, I've been planting seeds for more than 20 years. My harvest is full blown, and I'm going to get everything he got for me. But here's the catch. When Joshua went into the land and he conquered all those kingdoms, right? Some kingdoms, he said, kill everybody. The mama, the daddy, the children, the cattle, the livestock, kill everything. Kill everything. Then there were some who ended up serving the people of God. Some of those enemies you have will be the very ones who will be commanded by the Lord to bless you, to help you, doing what you need to do. That's why you just do what the Lord say do. But here's the key. They dwelt in cities they didn't build. They drank from vineyards they didn't grow. Guys, what he has for us, you don't even have to do all the work. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The only labor you need to have is to rest in him. It's to work to get into that word. That's your labor, work to get into his presence. And when you cross, and did I mention when we left Egypt, we left with a whole bunch of wealth? Couldn't use it in the wilderness, but we had wealth. So we walk into the new cities rich. Wealth. Just cross over. Somebody look to your neighbor and say, cross over. Cross over. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for this word. We thank you for this new season of elevation that is upon us. We thank you for this new season of prosperity in every area of our life, relationships, family, children, the workplace, business. Every area of our life, God, we thank you in advance for the elevation. Give us the desire and the hunger to get into your word. To dwell in your word. Change our minds. Change our hearts, God. We want the faith that comes from the Most High God. Not our manufactured faith, but that God faith that you give. God, bless our belief and remove our unbelief. Give us a spirit that allows us to be bold, to be strong, and to be courageous. Give us the ability to slay every giant that will present themselves and allow us to run straight at it with confidence that the Lord of hosts has our back, that the angels of heaven will war on our behalf. No door will be closed that is meant to be open. No man will take what is meant to be mine. We will go to the other side, God. We thank you on this morning. We receive this word. We will not let it depart from our mouth. We will meditate on it day and night. We will crucify our mind every day. Because we are the king's kids, entitled to the king's stuff. Give us a heart of service that we may bless others. Because it's service to others that will lead to greatness. These things I decree. These things I declare by the living God in the name of Christ Jesus. If you believe, let the church say, amen. If you want to go to the other.
Amen, amen, amen. What an awesome word by Reverend Nate Newman. I guess that was 2015, it sounds like. But I pray that you were blessed by this message. Again, this has been Christian Speed Talk Radio. I've been your host, Reverend Ray. This, of course, is Friday Night Joy. We do this every Friday at 7 p.m. We pray that you have a blessed rest of the afternoon on this Friday. Be safe out there. And continue to pray for those that are going through so much trouble in the world, man. I mean, those in Mexico and in the States and, I mean, all over. Just stuff happening all over. And, of course, those that just pray, y'all. Even those in Las Vegas, just pray. This is a season of prayer. Amen. So be blessed. And don't forget, we have a broadcast on Sunday. We go to Bread of Life. We'll see you then. Be blessed. Amen. Amen. Amen.